We are going to start the Dhamma sermon. Actually, we were discussing Ratana Sutta. Let me share the screen. So as you know, Ratana Sutta is one of the very popular suttas available in the Sutta Nipata and quite close to us. And we often recite that. And sometimes we think that it is so powerful and it is having various blessings. And the background also we discussed why Buddha preached that. Basically, there was a certain fears, a famine, and a plague. So different kinds of catastrophic situations were there in the Vaisali. And at that time, the Vajjis invited Buddha to visit the Vaisali, and there Buddha actually preached Ratana Sutta, and Venerable Ananda, using the Buddha's bowl, sprinkled water, the blessed water, throughout the city, and after returning, Buddha himself recited the Ratana Sutta. So basically, Ratana Sutta consists of series of verses which are explaining deeply and concisely about the Buddha's qualities, Dhamma's qualities, and the Sangha's qualities. So basically, the certain qualities are highlighted and using them as a kind of a resolution, as a kind of a blessing, Buddha is very much blessing the whole city, blessing the whole folk, all people available in that city. And the content is very much fairly unique. And again, very interesting. And we were going one after the other, the verses. Last time we discussed this one. Sorry, give me a second. Yeah, this one. So, sahavasa dasana sampadaya tayasu dhamma jahita bhavanti sakka ditti vichikichitancha silambatang vapi adatti kinchi. Chatuhapaye hicha vipamutto chachabi thanani ababbo khatu. Idampi sanghe ratanam panitam etena sacchena suvatti hotu. Now this is the last verse that we discussed, where Buddha mentioned about ditti sampanna puggala, a certain person who has eliminated three fetters, sakkaya ditti vichikiccha silabbata paramasa. The personality view, the doubt, and a kind of a belief, thinking that rituals and observances would give the kind of lasting peace. They are as a kind of a complete means of achieving Nibbana, achieving liberation. So these three fetters are being abandoned, and that is the person who has come to a situation where certain heinous crimes, heinous activities are impossible to conduct, like killing one's mother, father, and then killing an arahant, out of hate, shedding Buddha's blood, schism in the Sangha, and again acknowledge another teacher as one's own teacher. So these are the sort of areas highlighted which are impossible to done by this particular person. Now we can get into further in the same line. Kinchapiso kammam karoti papakam kayena vacha uda chetasava. Ababbo sotasya patichchadaya ababbata ditta padasya butta. Idampi sanghe ratanam panitam etena sacchena suvatti hotu. Now this is also actually attributed to a sotapanna. Previous one is also talking about very interesting quality about a sotapanna, stream winner. This verse, the current verse, also explained about that noble person. Kinchapaso kammam karoti papakam. Now, he might have done a bad deed by body, by speech, or mind. Kayena vacha uda chetasava. Ababbo sotasya paticchada. But the interesting thing is, he is incapable of concealing it. He is incapable of hiding it. Rather, he doesn't have a desire to hide it. He doesn't want to show off that he is a good person, kind of a saint. by hiding those mistakes. Rather, he has the quality of revealing whatever the mistake he has done. So that is a very interesting point highlighted here, because typically people are doing various bad activities, but they want to hide them. Even though they do various offenses, they actually want to hide them. They never want to reveal them. They never want to very much accept them or acknowledge them, or to correct themselves sometimes. Even someone else come and try to correct that, still they are unable to accept it. They don't have any humble attitude to accept it and to correct themselves. Rather, they sometimes even defend one's own fault and say they sometimes reject their own faults and always point finger to the others. So that's a typical approach that people are taking. But here the opposite is true for a Sotapanna, so for a stream winner. So they are quite ready to accept their own faults. And if they knew that it was a mistake, it was something that I have done, and again, it is something that mistakenly I have done, or lack of mindfulness I have done. So likewise, they are not perfect people. But the important thing is, since they are noble people, they don't hide it. They don't want to show that they are perfect, a saint-like person. Rather, they acknowledge, okay, still there are defilements available. There are still certain deficiencies available. Sometimes we are getting to the tracks or traps of the defilements. So I completely don't have, totally complete controllability of those defilements are still not available. So that kind of an acknowledge, very realistic kind of understanding about one's own capacity is something interestingly mentioned here. So they are not capable of hiding their mistakes, not capable of concealing their mistakes. Kāyana vācha uddha cetasāva abhabbo sotasa paticchādāya abhabbata ditta padassa buddha. So such inability is stated for one who has seen the state. This too is the sublime gem in the Sangha. By this truth, may there be safety. Now, as I mentioned, when one becomes a stream winner, so actually in certain suttas like Kosambya Sutta in Majjhima Nikaya, Buddha explains seven reflections, contemplations to verify that. So one of the very interesting point is that this particular point, which is Buddha mentioned, that is, whenever a mistake happens, whenever some kind of offense being done, so they never want to hide it. They never want to show that they have never done that. Rather, they can openly explain that they have done that, they admit that, and interestingly, they want to correct that. And as mentioned in the Kosambya Sutta, although he may commit some kind of offense for which a means of rehabilitation has been laid down, still he at once confesses, reveals, and discloses it to the teacher or to a companion. And having done that, he enters upon restraint for the future. Now, very interesting simile Buddha is giving. If a young kid puts his hand to something hot, so immediately he takes out the hand. So immediately he takes it out. So that kind of an instantaneous revelation, instantaneous opening, rather than hiding, is there with this noble person. So like this kid draws back his hand from that burning thing, hot thing. So this person also, due to some reason, he has done a mistake, but now he wants to correct himself. And again, he doesn't want to hide it. So this quality, we need to reflect whether such quality is available within us. So as we are continuing our path, are we becoming more and more humble? Or are we want to have kind of a showing off characteristic, showing that I am a perfect person, showing that I am a kind of a saint? Or are you having kind of a attitude that I am not a saint, still certain defilements are available in the mind. Time to time, I sometimes subject to those defilements. Sometimes I am able to overcome them, handle them without being victimized to them. But unfortunately, sometimes I being carried away by those defilements. So if we have this kind of a more realistic understanding about what's really going on within us, that would be much better than thinking that I am a perfect person. So maybe when one becomes an arahant, he may have a different perspective. But till that, so having more realistic kind of attitude, still defilements are available, so one is well aware of that, because one is constantly guarding one's mind, observing one's mind, so he is being able to trace sometimes certain defilements. So as a result of that, sometimes those the influence of those defilements can lead to a kind of a transgression. As much as possible, this person may be very much under control, but unfortunately, there could be a situation where those defilements become powerful, and so his mind being overwhelmed by that defilements, and he gone through some kind of a transgression. But he never hide that. So he reveals, okay, this kind of an incident has happened. I had maybe lustful thoughts. I had kind of an angry thoughts. So I understood that, but I couldn't stop myself. I understood that, but I couldn't stop talking. I couldn't stop blaming. I couldn't stop reacting, something like that. But he has an inner desire. Yes, I need to further correct myself. I need to calm down myself. These defilements are still overwhelming me sometimes. So he has that kind of an attitude. Let me, as much as possible, calm down these defilements. Keep away from these defilements. So he has that pahana sanya. So he wants to abandon the defilements, but still not perfect. He has that objective, but still couldn't achieve it to the 100%. Now, on the other hand, so when the another point actually highlighted in the same Kausambya Sutta is that Buddha mentioned that Sotapanna, the stream winner, is well aware of the defilements going through in his mind. It is not that he is unaware of those defilements. So typically when one is not mindful, they don't even recognize the defilements. They simply act according to various thoughts, defilements occurring in one's mind, and they continue immediately to a transgression, and then later sometimes they regret of what has happened. But then actually it is too late. They are completely unaware of what is going on in their minds. Rather, again and again, they become poor victims of those defilements. But the difference between a Sotapanna and such kind of a worldling, mundane person is that a Sotapanna, a stream winner, is quite aware of whatever the defilements going through in his mind. So knowingly things are happening. It is not unaware. He is not unaware of what is going on. Rather, he is very well aware of those defilements. So that is actually highlighted in this same Kausambya Sutta as another reflection by the Buddha, that if we are checking our mind, if we are very much reflecting about our own mind, if we understood, yeah, certain defilements are still coming up, they are coming to the surface, sometimes I am carried away by them, but knowingly, their influence is so powerful, and I have fair control about them, but sometimes they overwhelm me, sometimes they overpower me. That kind of a very realistic understanding. An important thing is, even a transgression happened within their supervision, within their kind of awareness. it is not that they are completely unaware of what is going on, but rather whenever these defilements, what we call them as the pariyutthana kilesa, obsessive level of defilements, so when they are present in the mind, so this person is very well aware of them. And sometimes he wins, sometimes he can completely abandon them, so they may start fading away. But sometimes because of their powerful nature, so this person also undergo a kind of a transgression. So this kind of situation is very well explained in this Kosambi Sutta and as certain criteria of a Sotapanna. So we can check, do we have such kind of a capacity now? So assume that we are practicing for several years now. We are also diligent practitioners. We are also doing very honest practice. So have we achieved this kind of a capacity? So whenever thought occur in the mind, am I aware of it? Whenever a defilement happens in the mind, am I aware of it? Or without my knowledge, I have reacted to a particular situation and later even regret what has happened. So that means I went through the overwhelming of defilements without my own notice. I haven't traced them. I haven't noticed them, but things have happened already. Or am I able to recognize daily, every time, what's really going on in the mind? Is mind peaceful or is mind going through a certain kind of defiled state? Am I aware of it? So when lust is available, am I aware of that? When anger is available, am I aware of that? Am I able to recognize that? Distinctly recognize that. So that's what Buddha mentioned in the Cittanupassana. Sado sanchittanti pajana. Whenever hateful thoughts are there, so you recognize, okay, this is a hateful thought. Saragan chittanti pajana. When there are lustful thoughts, okay, you recognize, okay, these are lustful thoughts. So now you are not being victimized to those lustful thoughts as we continue the practice. But you directly recognize them as lustful thoughts, directly recognize them as hateful thoughts. Sometimes mind go through certain ignorant, confusion type of things. So even there, if you can step back and watch it, recognize it. Okay, this is what we call as ignorance. So this is what we call as confusion. Maybe doubt. So likewise, very well aware of each and every defilement going on in the mind is very, very important. Because without knowing them, we can't overcome them. Janato bhikkhave passato asavanam khayam vadami no ajanato no passato. So Buddha mentioned, only when you are very well aware, only when you are knowing about those various defilements, then only there is a chance to overcome them, to fade them away. So that is very important. So combining these two, so that is, say, you are able to recognize defilements, you are completely aware of what is really going on in the mind, you are very much like observing the mind continuously, maintaining certain amount of awareness about your own mind. So without your knowledge, things can't happen. And again, on such occasion, if a powerful defilement happens, you couldn't stop it, but even though you notice it, you couldn't stop it. So you went through a transgression. But you admit it. You humbly admit it, yes, I did this mistake. I couldn't stop myself. So it was instantaneous. I was little unmindful. Even though I recognized these defilements, I couldn't stop them because they have grown to a such extent. So it has gone through the full transgression. So likewise, very realistic, down-to-earth understanding about one's own mind. So this is what actually necessary as we continue the path. Maybe one day we may be able to recognize, okay, now less defilements are there. So that kind of overwhelming situations become less and less. I have a fair calmness in the mind. I have fair peacefulness in the mind. Less defilements in the mind. And captivating by the defilements become less and less. So like this kind of a comment, if we can have, so this kind of an observation, if we can have, that means we are going through some sort of a progress. And now, another, now this actually is attributed to the Sangha. Idampi Sanghe Ratanam Panitam, Etena Satchena Suvatti Hotu. So this Sangha, not merely the bhikkhus, and whoever is the practitioner, mainly. So the important thing is the practice. Whoever a person who has become a sotapanna, either he may be a layperson or he may be a monk or nun, doesn't matter. But the important quality is that he has this capacity. Either man or woman, male, female, everything, those gender differences, age differences, either lay or monk. So those are not relevant here. But the important thing is, so one is, well, aware of the qualities available in the mind. So what are the qualities that I have sort of developed so far through the continuous practice? So that kind of an understanding. So Buddha uses this as a quality of the Sangha, particularly the first noble person. And with that, Buddha bless the whole city. Etena satchena suvatti hoti. May there be safe, may there be happiness throughout this particular place. And now there are two verses actually attributed to the Buddha's qualities. Vanappagumbe yatha pussitange gimhana maase patamasmin gimhi. Hatupamang dhamma varang adesai nibbana gaming paramang hitai. Idampi buddhe ratanang panitang etena satchena suvatti. Now this is very much like kind of an aesthetic way of looking at what Buddha has understood. Like a woodland thicket with flowering crests in a summer month, in the first of the summer, just so he taught the excellent Dhamma leading to Nibbana for the supreme welfare. This too is the sublime gem in the Buddha. By this truth, may there be safety. Now here actually, so Buddha is the one who preached the Dhamma, who revealed the Dhamma, who fully understood the Dhamma, and then he preached the Dhamma. So Buddha himself understood the Dhamma. So that is one important quality of the Buddha, why we call him as a Sammasambuddha. So there was no any kind of external influence came from, rather his understanding is fairly unique. So what he learned from the other teachers before he attained Arahanthood, the other teachers, sometimes they simply mention about the jhanas, very much like a samatha-oriented teachers, like Alara Kala, Muddhakarama. So they are actually capable of attaining certain kind of a concentration, so that they, without any miserliness, so they are able to teach to the bodhisattva. But the Buddha understood, okay, this is not merely the path. So path has to be more based on the vipassana, based on the patipada, based on one's own qualities. So he went through his own path in a way. So that's why sometimes we call them as the Noble Eightfold Path. So in this particular verse, so that is being highlighted. So this, the teaching is uttered by the Buddha, preached by the Buddha in a very beautiful, pleasant environment. You probably can remember. So the first sermon, when he delivers Dhammacakkappavattana Sutta, so only 5 ascetics were there, and he was delivering that sermon, and even the whole world system start trembling. Because this is happening only in this time, and he was able to achieve it or convince Venerable Kondanya. So he also understood. So that indicates it is not something a private thing to the Buddha, but he can share it with others. So his understanding is not kind of private. He can share it with others. So he can show the path, when by another person, by leading that path, can achieve the same understanding, can experience the same thing, and that is also important. So, So Buddha being praised here in this particular verse, because he is the teacher. He is the one who revealed this Dhamma. He is the one after a long, long time that revealed this Dhamma, noble Dhamma. That is therefore an interesting quality of the Buddha. Idampi buddhe ratanam panitam etena sacchena suvatte hotu. So this is the sublime quality of the Buddha. May there be truth, may there be safety as a resolution of this particular truth. And now another verse actually further praising the Buddha, varo varanyo varado varaharo anuttaro dhamma varang adesai. Idampi buddhe ratanam panitam etena sacchena suvatte hotu. So the excellent one, the Nova of the excellent, varo varanyo varado varaharo. So the excellent one, the noble one, giver of the excellent, anuttaro dhamma varang adesai, giver of the excellent, bringer of the excellent, the unsurpassed one taught the excellent dhamma, anuttaro dhamma varang adesai. So anuttara dhamma, so that means excellent dhamma, unsurpassed dhamma. So the Buddha's teaching is something unsurpassed. So no one else can overpower that and teach something better. So he is the Buddha. So that's why here it is highlighted. So this particular special teachings, the Dhamma teachings, are being delivered, are being spoken by the Buddha on this sort of very beautiful time. So as a result of this truth, may there be safety. So I think we have to stop here because the other verse actually worth taking at another time because it has some deeper things to understand. So therefore, with that, I like to conclude today's Dhamma sermon. Now I like to open the session for questions.
We have four questions today. Let's start with question number one of four is on mindful walking. Dear Bhante, I focus on the observations of the soles of the foot when doing walking practice. I can feel the pressure distribution starting from the heel, hot and cold patches on the soles and smooth and roughness of the touch, etc. I can observe the differences of the left and right foot. Is it possible to keep attention like this? It is possible to keep attention like this for... It is possible to keep attention like this for 5 to 10 rounds continuously. If I get distracted and mind comes back to the sensations without much effort. Since I can be with the sensations for long, I try to go deep to focus and understand them. I don't know if I observe the pure sensations yet or use help thoughts to identify them. I feel there's a subtle verbalization going on, such as pressure, cold, hot, smooth, just before the observations. My question is, can one understand these walking sensations without any thoughts at all? Hope Bhante can explain this very subtle area of contact and knowing related to our practice. Much merits for your service, Bhante. That's the end of the question.
Yeah, actually, when we start at the beginning, so this talking of the mind or the inner chatter, the monologue, actually become somewhat faded away, but still it is present in the background. But we are capable of doing the observation. So when we are at that level, yes, we do the investigation, but kind of a monologue is going on. Kind of an inner chatter is, to some extent, is going on. So its mind is not completely silent. Maybe. But as we continue the path, slowly, slowly, the attention, the strength that we are giving to that inner chatter become less and less. So as a result of that, our attention to the selected objects become more powerful, more prominent. So as a result of that, now that inner chatter become further faded away, almost like disappeared. Now you are observing these various phenomena with a very quiet mind. So therefore, it is possible. So it may not be immediately possible, but as you continue your practice, so slowly, slowly, you may understand your thorough focus is drawn to these various phenomena. So they are showing very vulnerable behavior, starting without anything. They start due to causes and conditions, then momentarily they fades away. They completely disappear. So this nature, now you are carefully observing, and as you are progressing in that observation, slowly, slowly, that inner chatter become less and less. So actually, further, when you do this observation, at the beginning, you are actually changing the object. So for example, you are observing one object at your hand, say kind of a sensation, maybe tingling sensation, rubbing sensation, whatever it is. So when you are continuing that observation, probably it starts fade away. Now a new sensation, say a fairly prominent sensation available on your leg, So you are changing your attention to the leg and start watching that. Now suppose that also changing, disappeared, and now you have to shift your attention to another place. Suppose there's another sensation on your shoulder. So you are watching that. So likewise, there's a significant change of position at the beginning. So vitakka, vichara, piti, sukha, ekagata, all these factors, concentration factors, are fairly present. But later, the sensitivity of the mind improves and the sharpness of the mindfulness improves and your wisdom also improves. So as a result of that, now you don't need to go to a very, strong kind of a sensation, rather even a very subtle sensation you can observe. And when you are observing that subtle sensation, within the vicinity of that sensation, the changes are happening. So you don't need to jump from this place to a very far away place in order to recognize another sensation. Because the sensations available close by are quite enough. You can carefully pay attention. And therefore, the vitakka become less and less. Rather, you are the difference between two objects become less and less. And you are carefully observing the objects. They are fairly accumulated within a very close or a close proximity or very nearby area. So you're jumping, replacement of your attention become less and less. Therefore, we can, on the other hand, argue, okay, now you are dropping vitakka. You do a very careful investigation also. So careful investigation also is not kind of a abrupt kind of an investigation. It's not kind of a very hard, tedious kind of an investigation, but it's a very subtle investigation, very careful investigation. So almost like vitakka and vichara, both are dropped. But you are observing how these phenomena are arising and passing away, and you can't even know the exact place, exact time. So all those orientation have gone. What you know really is arising and passing away of this very, very subtle phenomena. So therefore, we can attribute it as to a second jhana. Previous stage as the first jhana, second stage as the second jhana. So likewise, in vipassana also, we are talking about jhana. And therefore, we can say, so this observation can be refined. And at that level, actually, there is no inner chatter at all. So it's a kind of an evolution is available. Maturing is available in this observation. Okay.
Question number 2 of 4 is a general question. Dear Bhante, last time you explained well about the Bojjhanga Pirith and how we can relate them to the outcomes of our practice. As lay people just trying to keep up maintaining some mindfulness, can we possibly experience these qualities? Also, I want to check about the entry state at Indriya level. How do we check if we are developing or these qualities are coming up in us? With metta, that's the end of the question.
Yeah. So when you are start developing mindfulness, at the beginning, we know, okay, we don't have mindfulness. So mind has become fairly restless. And there is no proper objective. So you're just jumping this and that. But later you understand, okay, now mind has somewhat tamed and fairly present in the, available in the present moment, fairly aware what's really going on. And if I want to keep my attention on a particular place, on particular selected phenomena, yes, he is ready and he is continuing that observation. So that indicates fair amount of improvement of the mindfulness, availability of the mindfulness. So likewise, the quality of mindfulness is something that now you recognize. Okay, this is the quality of mindfulness. In the morning, I am not that mindful. Okay, now I am mindful. In the evening, I am not that mindful, but at night I was quite mindful. So mindfulness has become fairly prevalent. So likewise, you are recognizing within your own mind the presence of mindfulness. It's a kind of governability. So the mindfulness is very much like the king of the mind now on certain occasions. So that means, so you have developed from very much like from somewhere, from very weak mindfulness, now you have developed to a level where a significant influence is there coming from mindfulness. So mind is under the supervision of mindfulness. So likewise, the faculties are the ones who are very much like governing the mind. Previously, the defilements are the ones governing the mind, but now it has changed to the opposite side. Now these, instead of defilements, instead of pancha nivarana, now the five faculties, indriya, are the ones governing the mind. Sometimes the faith, sometimes the effort, sometimes mindfulness, sometimes concentration, and sometimes wisdom. And this wisdom is also not the book knowledge, rather a kind of penetrative wisdom. So you can keep your attention in a more penetrative way, a very careful manner, so that you can see through, something like that. So in your practice, so these kind of changes or acquiring of these skills has to be noticed. Not immediately, but later you understand, okay, now a kind of a quality, a kind of a skill is available within me. So that is how we can say, yes, you can trace them, you can recognize how these certain qualities are developed within the mind. Back to you, Chamila. I can't hear you.
That's one. So it's question number 3 of 5. This is again a general question. Dear Venerable Bhante, hope you can clarify a bit how we can identify and understand the difference between sanya and sankara. Bhante always mentioned that we should identify form as form, feelings as feelings, which are not so difficult to comprehend. However, perception and formations are difficult to identify and differentiate from our day-to-day experience. That's my question. With metta, that's the end of the question.
Yeah, very good question. So I would like to say sanya are very much like the, at its very primitive stage, they are very much like the signs, marks happening in the mind. They are very much like stains happen to the mind. So your mind get occupied by a cloud, a mental image, a kind of a sign, kind of a mark. So that's a kind of an occupation of your mind. Assume that your mind was fairly clear, fairly purified, and that clarity was available in the mind. But now, say, you got a mental image. So that mental image has fairly occupied your mind. You got a certain mark, a sign. That sign has occupied your mind. So that is one stage of perception, or very primitive stage of early stage of sanya. But based upon that, now you start thinking. Now that thinking part is actually sankhara. You start fabricating, you start adding to it, you start inserting your likes and dislikes into these images, sanya. And now the thinking machine starts. Now the sankharas are developed. Various thought moments are happening. Chetana, the volitional activities are happening. Now it is now growing to the sankhara level. And So that sankharas actually, we can say, are the sankhara khanda, or what we call as the mental formations. And sometimes when we do this kind of a process, so we get certain attitude about someone. We get certain attitude about something, a preconceived idea, a kind of a perception. So that perception is also sometimes actually taken as part of the sanya khanda, the perception aggregate. But the important thing is now at this level, the perception has gone a fair long path. They are not merely signs. They are not merely marks. But on top of that, we have fabricated a fair amount of perception. And that is now very much like inculcated in the mind. So you have a kind of an attitude. When you see a particular person, that attitude jumps in. And based on that attitude, you do the conclusion. So you do the recognition. So you do your own kind of judgments. So these are perceptions. Now your mind being colored, conditioned by those perceptions. It's very much like conditioned mind. So all that actually we can say, perceptions are also included in the sanya khanda, but the sankharas are very much like the intentional thinking and various thoughts occurring, intentions occurring, the various desires occurring, or various wholesome and unwholesome thoughts occurring. So all this comes under the sankhara. And you can recognize how they are coming and going, how they are appearing and disappearing. Okay.
Question number 4 of 5. This is about the Dhamma sermon. Dear Bhante, in the Ratana Sutta, 6th bad deed one should not commit is acknowledge another teacher. What does this mean? Is it about following another religion? With metta. That's the end of the question.
Yeah, I think very much like that. You are rejecting the Buddha as the supreme teacher, but you start believing someone else. So that is very much impossible to a Sotapanna and the other trainees, because they understood the Buddha's qualities, or they understood the Buddha's teaching, and they were able to recognize Buddha through the Dhamma. Yo dhammam passati, so mam passati. So at this level, so they thoroughly understood the Dhamma, and they themselves have certainly established in Dhamma. And as a result of that, through the Dhamma, they have recognized the Buddha. So as a result of that, they are quite firm that the Buddha is supremely enlightened. So Buddha is showing a path. I am still not capable of achieving it, but a certain direction they can recognize. So as a result of that, now they can't completely shift from the Buddha to another teacher. Because they understood, okay, Buddha is the one showing the path. Buddha is the one showing the correct path. Which I have certain glimpses of the path. Though I don't fully comprehend it, I have certain glimpses of that path. So that kind of an understanding. Not that we are perfect, but get certain direction from the Buddha through his Dhamma, the teaching. So you are firmly start trusting the Buddha. Have a strong faith on the Buddha. So that is the point highlighted here, that now you are incapable of acknowledging another person as your teacher, because you very well understood that. Okay.
Question number 5 of 6. This is again on the Dhamma sermon. Dear Bhante, today's sermon of Ratana Sutta, a stream winner cannot or would not hide any wrongdoing. Is this due to dropping of self-view, Bhante? That's the end of the question.
And that also one important reason maybe, because when we have a strong ego, and when we have a kind of a self-promotive thoughts, so you are very much trying to protect yourself. You are trying to protect a self-image, or kind of a famous figure. And you think that others have to have a strong, proper, correct, appreciative view about you. So this all represents that kind of a belief that there's a person within me. That person is an ideal person. That person is a perfect person. So everyone else has to know that about this perfect person. But when self-identity is kept aside, or identification has become less and less, and one when one thoroughly understands, okay, there is no ongoing personality within the body, within the feelings, within the perceptions, within the mental formations, within this consciousness, then his mind has to be more lighter, more peaceful, and he is thoroughly established on the Dhamma, thinking, okay, these are the causes and conditions happening. The processes are happening due to causes and conditions. There is no ongoing person attributed to that process. So as you mentioned, so it may be one important reason is that the dropping of his personality view. Now he can simply acknowledge because he knows, okay, I mean, I have seen the anatta to some extent, understood the anatta, non-self nature to some extent. So there is no point of safeguarding a person, garlanding, applauding a person, or whitewashing a person. Let me admit. Let me become more humble. Let me drop the conceit. That's why in a way we can say, so when we are practicing, so this yogi has to become even more rich with qualities. It's not that he become more conceited than a dull kind of a character, but more human kind of character, a more sensitive character. So he can reveal his own faults, and he may even notice those faults, and he himself may have kind of self-compassion towards those faults, and doesn't want to safeguard, whitewash himself. Okay.
So this is question number 6 of 6. This is the last question. It's a general question. Bhante, how can you see or interpret the impermanent nature of the 5 aggregates during the meditation or upon reflection after emerging from the meditation? That's the end of the question.
Yeah, actually assume that you are doing Kayanupassana and you are able to establish mindfulness. You are able to carefully focus your attention. The samadhi is also there. And now various bodily phenomena are arising. Say you are keeping your attention to the body, and you are able to recognize hardness, you are able to recognize softness, you are able to recognize smoothness, roughness, heat, cold, movements, vibrations, and all these different, what we call as the element characteristics, you are able to recognize. And as you carefully recognize for some time, you may understand, okay, these qualities are not permanent. Hardness simply quickly arises and changes. Softness simply arises and changes. Vibration itself is a coming and going, arising and passing away. Movement itself is a arising and passing away. It's a kind of a momentary process going on. So this momentary behavior, they are not lasting for a long time. They quickly arise and changing and passing away. Quickly arising, changing, passing away. Quickly arising, changing, passing away. So what we call them as the momentary characteristics, sankata lakkhana. So Buddha mentioned, tinimani bhikkave sankatani sankata lakkhanani, katamani tin, upado panyayati vayo panyayati ritasa anyatattam panyayati. Monks, onto the all constructed phenomena, there are 3 characteristics one can recognize. Arising can be recognized, passing away can be recognized. In between arising and passing away, constant change can be recognized. So if one is able to recognize this whole process, so that is the impermanence that we are seeing. And it is common to form aggregate, feeling aggregate, perception aggregate, formations aggregate, and to the consciousness aggregate. So within the Kayanupassana, you are seeing the form aggregate and you recognize the impermanent nature. During the Vedanupassana, you see the impermanent characteristics of feelings and perceptions. And in the Chittanupassana, Dhammanupassana, you are actually observing And the Chittanupassana actually the consciousness aggregate, formations aggregate, and the Dhammanupassana, all the five aggregates. So you may see how they are impermanent. And it is not only impermanent, maybe later you may understand the suffering nature, the non-self nature, and many other, what we call as the vipassana knowledges. So if you like, you can refer Paving the Way, the book written by most venerable Sayadaw Upandita. Yeah, very much interestingly, he has put into words how these progressive stages happen within one's practice. So what we see, as I explained, is the impermanence. The important characteristic is the impermanence. With that, the other characteristics are also happening. Maybe the suffering, non-self, and various other vipassana knowledges start evolving.
That was the last question, Bhante. I think we are almost up to time. So we will continue with the sitting, guided sitting, and I will post a recording for that.
Okay, thank you very much. Then I am taking leave. Theruvan Sarnai.
Theruvan Sarnai. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.